You're listening to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the DFS Karma Podcast Network. Now here's your host with the most, Jack Caparuccio.
And welcome back to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the Karma Media Network. I'm your host, Jack Caparuccio, aka Clinic Cap on Twitter. This is episode number 12 of the No Cap Podcast. Today we're diving into the most important NFL news and notes for fantasy football. If you want to see my starts, sits, and weekly rankings, head over to dfskarma.com to read up on them now. If you want my insights on Thursday Night Football player props, that article is already live for free at betkarma.com. If you need dynasty help, feel free to join our Discord at dfskarma.com, and you'll get direct access to me and the rest of the experts with our Fantasy Football Karma Season Pass Plus. Head over to dfskarma.com to check that out in more detail. Let's get right into it. So there's a ton of stuff to go through this week, as it always seems there is. There's so many injuries, so many new pieces of news to dig through. I mean, it just is getting outrageous at this point. It feels like we're getting, 50 injuries to starters every single week for your fantasy teams. And not only that, it is like the worst bye week setup I've ever seen in my life. There are some teams out there where if there's a guy that is literally breathing, I'm putting him out there because that's just how bad it looks. So I don't usually go through offensive line news, but I feel this is important for fantasy implications. Giants left tackle Andrew Thomas has gone to IR. Now, obviously, this affects you if you have Devontae Booker, if you have Daniel Jones, if you have any pieces of this pretty abysmal offense at this point. And it does hurt your prospects for Saquon Barkley whenever he does return, which, should be sooner rather than later from what the reports I'm reading are. It obviously doesn't help. Even if Andrew Thomas isn't, this stalwart left tackle, not this all-pro type of guy, it doesn't help when you have an offensive line that's already as bad as the Giants is. So keep that in mind when Saquon does come back that, for him to have the real fantasy relevance we want, he might have to get more involved in the passing game. And with how these pass catchers are going down left and right for the Giants, I don't see why that can't happen. Ravens left tackle Ronnie Stanley is out for the season, which hurts if you have any piece of this Ravens backfield. Not that you necessarily want any piece of this Ravens backfield outside of Lamar Jackson, but it still is something to take note for. He's probably going to get pressured more. He's going to have to be on the run more, which he obviously does very well. So, it's not as impactful as others because this is a true committee backfield. And truth be told, the most valuable running back in this rotation is Lamar Jackson. So I'm not super concerned about it, but it's just something to keep in mind because he might be pressured more. This one stinks. A true breakout sleeper candidate at the tight end position that was emerging this year, Dawson Knox, has broken his hand or broken a bone in his hand. There's not a clear timeline on when and how long this will take for him to recover from. And remember, the Bills are on a bye week this next week. So if any time for this to happen, this is, I guess, the best time for him to break a hand. And if you watch the game last night, he actually threw a pass to Josh Allen with that broken hand. Josh Allen tried to waive the playoff because he knew he hurt himself, but Dawson Knox was a baller and said, I'm going to throw this. And he completed the pass. So, got to give him props for that. It stinks. Hopefully, this doesn't knock him out too long. Obviously, you need your hands if you're going to catch the football. So, hoping a speedy recovery for him. He's been great to watch this season. Baker Mayfield of the Cleveland Browns is unclear to play Thursday Night Football. If you've been watching the Browns last few weeks, you can tell that Baker is not himself. He tore, I think it was his labrum in his shoulder, in a throwing shoulder a few weeks ago, and he's just kept playing through it, and it seems like it's just getting worse. Part of me hopes that the Browns just go ahead and rest him for this game because they're on a short week, short turnaround, and the last thing you want is your franchise QB to hurt himself even worse than he already has. And he's not doing that well for the team. It's not really, resulting in wins for the team, so you might as well rest him up and turn to Case Keenum, who's a capable backup in the short term, and hope that Baker can get better quick. But it's something to monitor regardless, going into his status into kickoff. If he does not go, I'm not real high on the Browns offense in general right now with all these injuries they've sustained. They're kind of a, stay away from me if I can at any point in DFS, in fantasy football, etc. They're a fade at this point. Jamichael Hasty of the San Francisco 49ers is coming off of IR. You remember he went on short-term IR a while ago with some random injury. He's coming back, which is significant because we know that this has been a committee, and with how Trey Sermon has looked or how good he has not looked, This is important because Hasty could fit right into this rotation with Eli Mitchell and Trey Sermon, and it could be a headache again for you because this is what Shanahan does. He pulls these Shanahanigans, and I would not be super surprised to see Jamichael Hasty come off IR and then just lead the backfield in touches all of a sudden out of nowhere, because that's what Shanahan does. That's why he stinks for fantasy football, and you cannot trust the man. So just keep in mind that if you're an Eli Mitchell manager, that Hasty's coming back, so just know he could be frustrating. Lamar Miller signing with the New Orleans Saints. Now, this one I see is more of a depth signing because Tony Jones Jr. went on IR, I think 1 or 2 weeks ago now for them, and they didn't really have much depth behind Alvin Kamara, and it was fine when they were in the bye week because they don't need running backs to play. But Miller, I see more as a, you know, take the stress load off of Kamara a little bit, maybe on like first downs, second downs, but I don't see him as being, you know, fantasy relevant. Teddy Bridgewater's nursing a foot injury, Noah Fant's nursing a foot injury, and Melvin Gordon is nursing a hip injury for the Broncos, and they're on a short week. They play Thursday Night Football this week. Bridgewater and Fant, I'm less concerned about. Reports are that it's not affecting them as much in practice, but Melvin Gordon I am a little bit more concerned about because this seems like the fourth week in a row he's been dealing with some kind of lower body injury in practice that has either kept him out of practice or limited. So for me, on a short week, this feels like, if any week, the time for Javonte Williams to get more touches than Melvin Gordon. And Gordon has been good with the touches he's gotten. In this 50-50 timeshare they've been doing, he's been just as effective as Javonte Williams. It's not a knock against Melvin Gordon. He's been great in terms of his efficiency and his usefulness and actual translating into team wins. It's been awesome for them. But I do think they'll try to monitor his workload even more because they paid the man. They don't want to hurt him as, you know, a team that looks like a fringe playoff contention team at this point. So I could see him being limited on a short week. This one stinks. More of the Browns news. Kareem Hunt out 4 to 6 weeks with calf injury. And if you watch this injury happen, you thought immediately season ender. You saw it. You thought it was an Achilles, and it was like the end of days for Kareem Hunt. Thankfully, that's not it. He's supposed to be out 4 to 6 weeks, which stinks. And then you might think, if you're a Nick Chubb manager, oh, it's Nick Chubb time. Nick Chubb RB1 overall. Well, guess what? Nick Chubb's out too this Thursday. So you can't use him. The only options on this team are Dearness Johnson and Demetric Felton, which I will get to in my waiver wire portion. OBJ has another shoulder injury. He said a while ago that he's had the same shoulder injury since like high school and he never got it fixed. And in last week's game, he re-injured a shoulder injury, so monitor that as well going into Thursday Night Football. The Browns could be down a bunch of starters, and it might not be pretty. And the Broncos could pull off what looks like an upset on paper, but if you see the Browns missing possibly like six starters, it won't be that much of an upset. Saints wide receiver Tre'Quan Smith is designated to return from IR, which is significant because he had a little bit of hype coming out of preseason, and, you know, there's not really many options there in the Saints receiving room. So, granted, this offense is not as pass-heavy as we might have thought it would have been, so keep that in mind that you're not necessarily locking in a bunch of targets for Tre'Quan Smith, but he's a guy that I'm watching on waivers. I'm not adding him off waivers yet. I want to see how he performs, but he could, you know, become a capable flex start in all of these desperation bye weeks, so just monitor him, see what his usage is like, look at what his target share is like when he comes in for this first game. This one's kind of interesting too. The Seattle Seahawks have been talking about bringing in Cam Newton to be the backup quarterback instead of Geno Smith while Russell Wilson misses time. Now, I've been, you know, on the rooting for Geno train because it's just a nice underdog story, but this one would actually kind of make sense for the Seahawks because they have this insistence to just run the snot out of the football, right? They like to be this run-heavy team. Pete Carroll has shown this insistence to take the ball out of his passer's hands and just run. And if you bring in Cam Newton, who's supposedly healthy, that's a good fit. Cam Newton would be a good fit in this offense with what they want to do in the short term. You know, obviously he's not the level of passer that Wilson is, and he's older, but he could still be effective. And for fantasy purposes, every time Cam Newton's been healthy and every time he's been rushing the football effectively, he's been a QB1 for fantasy. So if you're in desperate need, like in a super flex league or something, Cam Newton might be worth stashing in case he signs and starts. Because, you know, at this point, I think he'd probably give the Seahawks a better chance to win than Geno Smith does. And that's I think, the truth of it with how they're building this offense. So watch that. Watch that news. If he signs, he's worth a speculative add in deeper leagues. Latavius Murray of the Baltimore Ravens picked up an ankle injury, which forced him out of the game. And it shows me that they're actually concerned about this because they promoted Le'Veon Bell to the active 53-man roster. And if we watched this last week's game, Le'Veon Bell did score a touchdown. It wasn't, you know, some pretty touchdown. It wasn't him ripping off this big run. It was like a 2-yard touchdown, right? It was more of there being open space and Le'Veon Bell being shifty and quick or patient runner like we used to see. But the problem with this backfield overall is how do we figure it out, right? How do we look at it and go, okay, which one can I spot start in my lineups? Because more likely than not, Lev Bell, Devonta Freeman, they're out there on your waiver wires. And the thing is, you know, I looked into the snap shares, the touches for this backfield at the end of this last week. And each of these running backs barely had over 20%. I believe Murray had the highest of 23%. Freeman had 21%. Bell had 20%. And then Lamar Jackson had like 24%. It's a full-blown committee. Now, with Bell out, or Latavius Murray out, sorry, you would think that these snap shares would rise. But then I also do believe they would just activate somebody like Tyson Williams, who's been a healthy scratch in recent weeks. And that's kind of mind-boggling why he's been a healthy scratch, but who knows the reasons, right? We're not in the Ravens locker room. We don't know what the coaches are doing and thinking. I think if you're going to roster anyone in this backfield, I'm probably going for Freeman. It's not pretty, but I think he's got more left to give than Bell at this point, and he's been featured more. He also offers more of the pass-catching skill set, at least that's how they've been using him. So I don't really want to roster any of them at this point, but I guess if you have to, Freeman's the add. Julio Jones re-injured his hamstring on Monday Night Football, which stinks. He obviously wasn't healthy, and this man seems like he's been questionable or injured since 2014, right? It's starting to feel like Julio Jones is this year's AJ Green, where he just is in and out of the lineup. He's, you know, effective when he is in it, or he's going to start this week, and then he's not going to start this week. Like, I don't think he's going to be trustworthy this year at this point, because if they keep forcing him back in the lineup, he's just going to keep re-injuring things, and it does not look like a great trade for them on paper so far. Obviously, you cannot project for injuries. No one can. But this stinks. It honestly stinks. If you're an AJ Brown manager, I'm sure you feel great about it. But you don't ever want to see great players be taken off the field due to injury, and that's what's happening to Julio Jones right now. Jimmy G is back practicing for the 49ers, and Trey Lance is not. So Jimmy G's been practicing in limited fashion, and Trey Lance has just not been practicing at all because of a knee sprain. So early signs are indicating that Jimmy G will start again this week, and honestly, if the 49ers are still in playoff contention, I think he'll be starting going forward. When Lance is healthy again, he'll probably be worked into some packages as we saw early on in the season, but at this point, unless the 49ers just drop a bunch of games and, you know, knock themselves out of the playoff race, I don't think we're going to see Lance as a full-time starter this year. Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys has a calf strain. If you watched that game, you saw him afterwards having a boot on, which was super concerning given his injury history. They did an MRI and they say it's fine, and they have a bye week right now, so he has time to rest up. And all expectations are that Dak Prescott will be fine going forward, but you do have to monitor it. Do be careful with it, because we've already seen him. This is the second injury now this year, as after he had the injury in the preseason. So just be cautious. Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. I want to talk about this a little bit because, as you know, Zach Ertz was traded to the Arizona Cardinals, where I believe he has tight end one fantasy appeal. And it's because look at what they were using Max Williams for before he went on season-ending IR in Arizona. There's obviously a role for it. It's a pass-heavy offense. He's attached to an MVP candidate in Kyler Murray. And it's really, you know, there's no better fit for him. He's still effective in catching passes in short yard situations in the red zone. He can do it. He can still get it done. We saw it this last game he had with the Eagles. So I think that both Goddard and Ertz will be tight end ones for fantasy for the rest of the season. So if you have either of them, you should feel confident in it. And if you're an Ertz or Goddard dynasty manager, if you've been looking to move off of them, now is probably the time to sell high. And I need to address this. I was wrong about Derrick Henry. I was way wrong about Derrick Henry. And I know I'm not the only one, right? And I addressed it on Twitter a little bit, but I believe in being accountable for my followers and listeners. And my whole argument against Derrick Henry this whole offseason was, well, look at every other 2,000-yard rusher in NFL history. The next season after, they regressed by about 500 rushing yards and a bunch of touchdowns. Look at what he's done. Look at his lack of involvement in the passing game, right? These are the narratives that we heard all offseason on why not to draft Derrick Henry. But right now, Derrick Henry is on pace for 2,200 rushing yards and 28 rushing touchdowns. The man has been absolutely on a tear. He's on a historic pace. He's on the pace for the best rushing season in NFL history in an era in the NFL when rushing the football is not the priority. It's passing, right? We see all these offenses just throw the football more and more and more. So I obviously don't project in my rankings and projections for a guy to break the all-time single-season rushing record. I don't think anybody does that, and I think if you do, that's a little bit foolish. But I will admit when I'm wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong about Derrick Henry. It's fun to watch somebody breaking records. I'm enjoying watching him every Sunday just absolutely kill people and stiff-arm them into the dirt, right? How can you not enjoy it? So while I was wrong on him for fantasy, I'm still happy with what he's doing. That's not to knock what he's doing and be like, oh, how dare you, Derrick Henry? How dare you rush for 2,000 yards again? And if Derrick Henry rushes for another 2,000-yard season in this era of football, he's in the conversation for a top five running back of all time. And I don't think that's necessarily a hot take because no one has done it. And look at all the great rushers there have been in eras that were focused on running the football. So I'm loving what he's doing, but I have to admit when I'm wrong. Some waiver wire ads I'm looking at this week, there's not many because it's just so limited with all the bye weeks. Dimitri Felton, which I touched on, and D'Ernest Johnson, those are the Cleveland guys. So the way I view this situation is D'Ernest Johnson's more of the ad and half PPR in lower leagues. I think he's going to get the majority volume of the traditional running back touches in terms of in between the tackles runs, but I still don't love this matchup against the Broncos. Broncos have a good run defense, so this is not a boom spot for D'Ernest Johnson by any means. He's just going to get a lot of volume. I actually like Dimitri Felton more in full PPR formats. If you watched this last week, they lined up Felton all over the field. He was in the slot. He was getting all these targets. He didn't get a lot of rushes, but he was getting targets, which in a full PPR is what you're looking for. He could be like a Kenneth Gainwell type of situation here in a game for the Browns where they're down pass catchers, they're down running backs, and they're just going to be looking for offense wherever they can get it. So I actually like Felton as more of a flyer if you're really desperate. I'm also adding Devontae Parker this week because he's been out the last 2 weeks, but prior to him getting hurt, he was actually putting up a couple double-digit fantasy point weeks. And with a soft matchup against the Atlanta Falcons, I like him to do that again and perform as a wide receiver 3. And that's extremely valuable for some of these teams that don't even have a wide receiver to start this week. I've seen some teams out there like that. And I'm looking at anyone with a pulse, meaning if somebody has a starting spot in front of them and I don't have anyone on my roster that's currently going to start because of this bye week again, as I'll call it, then I'm probably going to pick them up and start them because at this point, that's the best you can do. Mailbag short today. We only have two questions from Twitter. The first one's from @_dietdonut. They asked Jerry Jeudy for Miles Sanders. So I don't know the scoring format here. I don't know if it's dynasty or redraft. But in general, I'm probably not making this move. I think that Jerry Jeudy's upside is way higher than Miles Sanders at this point of the season when Jerry Jeudy comes back. Jeudy's reportedly coming off of IR soon. They said it's probably not this week because it's Thursday Night Football. And they're not wanting to rush him. But it could be the next week. And as soon as Jerry Jeudy's off of IR, I see him as a locked-in, high-upside wide receiver 2 in full PPR format. So, no, I'm not making this move for Miles Sanders, who's stuck in an offense that they refuse to run the football, and it looks like a high school JV team out there. So, no, I'm not acquiring Miles Sanders for that. This next question comes from @mark53281604. They asked, Gesicki or Goddard, dynasty and redraft? For redraft, I still like Gesicki's upside higher than Goddard just because the Miami offenses look better than the Eagles. And that's not comparing much here, but Tua has shown he's like Gesicki, and so did Jacoby Brissett before that. It's obvious he's a part of this offense. And with the injuries the Dolphins have at wide receiver, you know, Gesicki becomes a glorified wide receiver in that role he's playing right now. So I think he's got a super high floor every week, which is, you know, more than you can ask for in most tight ends. But for dynasty, I think Goddard has the higher upside long term. The only thing with that is the QB situation, right? Jalen Hurts, I'm not sure if he's the long-term answer. He's obviously been great for fantasy because of his rushing upside, but I'm not sure he's the long-term answer for the Eagles. Now, that could be a good or bad thing because if he is a long-term answer and does really well and, you know, becomes a better passer, that's obviously good for Goddard. But if they replace him with somebody else, that could also lend more volatility for Goddard because rookie quarterbacks don't usually translate to a lot of fantasy points for anyone outside of one option in the offense, so it's usually a wide receiver. So it's volatile for either situation. I lean Goddard because I like his talent better, but I could see why people would lean Gesicki. That's it for today's show. Make sure to follow me on Twitter @ClinicCap, and if you like the show, Be sure to like and subscribe or follow the show anywhere podcasts can be found so you never miss an episode, and leave a quick review if you'd be so kind. If you want to directly ask me questions about fantasy football, sports betting, dynasty leagues, or life in general, head over to dfskarma.com and join our free chat room where you can talk to me nearly 24/7, 365. If you want even more fantasy help and access to our proprietary tools, you can get our Fantasy Football Karma Season Pass today at dfskarma.com. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the No Cap Podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review anywhere podcasts can be found.